This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, plus Brian Sexton and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are sponsored by EverBank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the Gus Bradley Show from the HananiaAutos.com studios inside EverBank Field. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and the Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley. How are you tonight, Coach?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Got a big event going on tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, you can hear them already, the excitement building and the
Are you going
the
gals. Up there?
Yeah, I'm going up there after the radio show. Right. So.
And that's the Jaguars Women's Club, right?
Yeah.
Women's Association that your wife started.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think they had something like that going here, but, you know, they decided to take it to this level. And, you know, with the NFL being associated with the breast cancer awareness and, you know, they decided to, you know, accompany that, and they're doing a fundraiser.
Yeah, and then the cool thing about this is that any lady can join this club. So if those want to find out more, go to Jaguars.com, and they can find out all about it, which in the past it was always just kind of a wives thing, and now it's, hey, it's anybody who wants to join, any lady.
Yeah, that's right. It's really is cool. I mean, we went up there to grab something to eat, and you see them filing in, and there's a lot of excitement, and that's great.
And they're teaching football. It's like a football 101.
Are you up there tonight?
No, because we're here.
Okay.
But it's a football 101, and they're teaching women some of the principles of football, and I think it's great. I think it's a great idea.
You'd think they changed the night in order to get you up there.
No.
Exactly.
The schedule
what a blunder this organization made, huh?
Exactly.
It was all about accommodating you.
All right, it's been a busy week for you, and in particular, Coach, on the injury front. You got lots of guys who are nursing a bunch of injuries. How healthy is your team heading into Week 7?
Well, I think it'll be day to day. You know, we'll see how guys. You know, we go through a practice and then we wait to the next day and see how they came out of it. But you know, there's been some good things though. It gives us a chance to look. You know, the wide receivers, we have some injuries there, but it really gives us a chance to see Steven Williams, a chance to see Mike Brown, just how much he's you know, come through. So Lamar Thomas, we got a young man that's on the practice squad that we like. So it gives us an opportunity to see those guys and develop them a little bit. So, you know, hopefully when it's all said and done on Sunday, we have the guys, you know, that we project to be healthy or healthy.
Steven Burton, Cecil, Justin Blackman, where are all those three?
A. Sanders, yeah.
Yeah. A. Sanders.
Well, you know what? Justin practiced today. We held him back on some limited reps. You know, Cecil goes through the walkthrough, and then he's out there just to watch, basically. Ace is still under the NFL concussion protocol. So, you know, we'll just gradually, you know, take a look at him each day.
Steven under the NFL protocol, right?
Yeah, Ace Steven also. Burton.
Okay.
And Ace, too.
And Ace.
Yeah, so both those guys. So, you know, we'll just look at it tomorrow. You know, usually, you know, Cecil, when he comes back after another day, he starts to feel a little bit better. We did a little bit more with him on the side today, so we'll see how that affected him.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Let's go back real quick to the game in Denver. You know, and we talked about this when we were doing your TV show the other day, and that is, you know, over the course of the first couple of weeks, you talked about things, specific things that you saw in film where your team was getting better and where the average fan might not. They might not see the detail that you and your coaches look for, but coming out of that game in Denver, Coach, I mean, everywhere I was, I'm sure Loggy felt the same way, heard the same things. Everyone said they got better this week.
Yeah.
It was pretty clear.
You know what? It's a lot of little things, you know, that we saw that added up to where we didn't play very well. And some of those things got cleaned up in the Denver game. Still not all of them, not where we want to be. But, you know, I think when you get, you know, a big chunk of them cleaned up, it starts to look like real football again.
Well, and there was a point early in the ball game, early in the broadcast, where Tony Boselli turned to Jeff and he said, hey, the hard part about this is the Jaguars should be winning this game. They're hurting themselves, which nobody outside of Jacksonville would have said. They would have said, oh, well, Broncos are going to win this one easy, but you were hurting yourselves and cost yourself the league.
Yeah, and that's generally what happens, you know, in this league is it really comes back to when you look at a game like that, you start saying, well, if we would have done this or could have done this, and that's why we talk, it's all about us and what we do, because that's generally what it comes back to.
I think the thing that impressed me the most, though, was that, you know, you get down 14 to nothing, and your team fights back.
Well, and they've demonstrated that during the year. We've said that even though we've been down in some games, our effort, our spirit has all been there. And we've seen that on tape. And, you know, I think it was demonstrated to everybody in that Denver game. They said, oh, this must be what you're talking about. You got down 14-0, and they just kept going. And, you know, when you're a really good team, you need that side of it. And so that's great that we're developing that.
And then defensively, the plan, obviously, was to play a lot of cover two, to make them throw short, make tackles, and then hopefully Peyton forces one, and he did. I mean,
right.
Holy cow, Paul Puzzlesny made a great play.
Yeah, he really did. You know, and Puzz has been playing well the past, you know, 5-6 weeks and doing a nice job handling the defense. But it was, you know, when you go into a game like that and they punt and then they have 6 series in a row where they score a touchdown, the game before, same thing. You're going, okay, you know, what a great challenge for us to go in there. And then to come out and right away the first play we almost intercept it. And then the second play, you know, have a chance to, you know, you feel it like, okay, we're on it, and the guys are playing things pretty good. And, you know, to see those things taking place, it was great for our defense.
The play that Paul made, that pick six, you know, Andre Branch had the penalty earlier in the game, and then he's got an opportunity to block Peyton Manning. And I thought that he showed great restraint, and I give him credit for that because he just gave Peyton a two-hand shove, which didn't require much. Peyton,
right.
Obviously, he's not a guy that's going to dive in there. But, I mean, still, he learned.
He did. You know what? And usually, if you get an interception, and Jeff, you can attest to this.
Ask Warren Moon.
The first guy that you go to is the quarterback.
Got
and
a letter
especially
from the league.
If he's chasing after one of your guys. So, you know, a defensive mentality is, okay, I'm not going to hit him in the pocket, but if he's chasing after one of our guys, you know, so Andre did use great restraint. He did just enough for us to get the touchdown and was smart in how he did it.
All right, time for us to take our first break. We'll come back with more with head coach Gus Bradley, and, of course, you can join us. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. You're listening to the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, and the Gus Bradley Show is brought to you this evening by PRI Productions, Sexton Lagerman, and, of course, head coach Gus Bradley. You can join us, 800-355-NFL1.
Gus, this week, your captain on offense, Brad Meester, is going to get his 200th game started and played. An amazing accomplishment.
Unbelievable. You know, I don't know the exact numbers of offensive linemen that have ever done that.
He's the 61st
yeah.
in offensive line history.
But what a credit. What a credit to him. And how good has he been for this organization, not only on the field, but off the field. And what he brings to our locker room, the guy's amazing, and we're just really fortunate to have him here with
us. You know, I just did an interview with him and with Tony Boselli because they started side by side back on September 3rd, 2000, in Cleveland.
Rain
you
man.
Think, you
Rain
think
man.
About that now. It, by the way, 4,795 days. I looked it up. I just wanted to get it down. 685 weeks. But the reality of it was that, I mean, that's how long he's been here. Boselli was still playing. Coughlin was the coach. He's been here for this long stretch. And over time, because he's the center, people don't think about him. But you know him now, having coached him this year. He's so valuable because he's such a calming influence.
He really is. Just think how many team meetings he said. You know, how many different messages he's heard from day to day and week to week. And imagine if he took his notebook and looked at all those. But he's really special. I mean, he has a unique way. He can older guys gravitate towards him. Luke Joeckel gravitates towards him. You know, they all go to him, and it's like he's Big Papa. You know, he's standing on the sideline when everything's going good. You don't see many guys talk to him, but once things are maybe a little, you know, confusion is taking place, it seems like they gravitate towards him, and just a really calming influence.
When you get a chance, you need to ask your athletic trainer, Mike Ryan. He's got a picture of Brad Meester at the combine, and he doesn't even look the same. I mean, just his young kid.
Yeah.
And then now you see him now, and, you know, he's a grizzled vet. You know,
yeah.
He's, you know, beard and, you know, daughters all
over
the place.
Well, I was going to say, six daughters will do that to you, I'm sure. I think if you asked him, he'd tell you that's the reason he's got all that gray hair. Of course, Boselli was piling on him. So, but when you look at your offensive line last week, Cam Bradfield has to go start at left tackle, and Pazder's now starting at right tackle. How do they do against the Broncos, and what do you expect to see from them going forward?
You know what? We took another step in our offensive line. There's some things we have to clean up. You know, at the right tackle spot, Austin did a good job, but I think you're going to see him probably make the biggest jump because, you know, the way that some of the defenses that he saw and how they attacked him, I think that you saw him get better as the game went on handling that. So, and Cam has done really a nice job. Left tackle spot now, that's a critical spot in any offensive line. So for him to jump in there, we gave up two sacks, which isn't ideal. But, you know, I think the communication, the things taking place up front has been better.
Well, but both of them came on the same series. Yeah. You know, I mean, so for most of the game, Chad had time to throw.
Well, you know what? And one of the interceptions, you know, there's an inside pass rush, you know, that got on the right side, and that affected the throw. So there was things like that. That's the, you know, even though there wasn't a sack, they did affect the quarterback. That's what we have to take care of.
The thing that really helped them in that game, though, was the situation. You guys really avoided, you know, a first and 15 or a second and 10 plus.
Right. You know, the first series, I thought we came out, and, you know, you got a little nervous. It just, you know, we had to take a timeout, and we had a miscue on the opening play. On the handoff. And then the first play of the game where we had Clay Harbor sneak out the back end, you know, we thought we had an opportunity for a big play, and we didn't execute that well. So we didn't start the way we wanted to. But things calmed down. Things calmed down. They really took a hold of it, and then we started to move the ball.
Harbor, by the way, appears to be a guy with a role. You know,
yeah.
And when you get Mercedes back in the mix, he's got a role. He could be that move guy that maybe you've been looking for.
Right. You know, and that's what happens. When some guys are down or some guys are injured, it forces you to really take a look at other players and develop them. And the cool thing is when a guy comes back like Mercedes, now you got Mercedes and Clay.
And when you look at Clay Harbor's numbers, 11 catches, 107 yards in the last three games, and the play that I looked at, against the Denver Broncos, where he caught that seam pass, and I'm just watching the speed down the field, you know, and he's got two receivers on the outside. He's farther downfield than the two wide receivers.
Right. You know what? And that just puts a strain on the defense, and they see the same thing. And you know, and now they're looking at, can we match up, you know, with a tight end and a linebacker? How do we feel about that? And it forces them maybe to adjust some things. So it all has an effect on a defense.
And the week before against the Rams, the big catch, I think it was 29 yards that Justin Blackmon had down the boundary. 39 yards, where Janoris Jenkins had to kind of lean towards Clay Harbor because he had the speed going down the seam.
Right. You know, that's how it opens up. And then, you know, you start seeing roll coverage. And you know, we have to take a look at that. What are they going to do this week? Are they going to roll coverage to Justin? Well, now, you know, you got Cecil on the other side. You know, so there's a game within the game, too, that we have to be aware of as coaches.
Realistically, Coach, what's it going to take? Where in particular do you need to get better for the running game to be more consistent?
Well, I think that, you know, generally speaking, in the NFL, in the run game, you see a lot of 2-yard carries and a lot of 3-yard carries. That's what the majority of the runs are. But if you can stay committed to it long enough, that's when you see the 25-yard run, the 30-yard run.
Like the 28-yarder in Denver from Mo.
That's right. That's what generally happens. So we have to stay committed to it. And even though it might only be 2 yards one time, just keep going. Because the defense, as you know, Jeff, at the end of the game or in the third quarter can start to wear down some. And that's generally, if you keep doing it at the end of those quarters, you start to make some yards.
You know, this one's for both of you. How much does Mercedes Lewis' return help the running game? Or is that too much to place on one player?
Well, obviously he's very good. One of the best blocking tight ends in the league. So to have him at that spot is only going to help us. And I think, you know, for a variety of reasons, too. You know, he's a good blocker, his ability to catch and you know, give us that height. And believe me, the quarterbacks, they like throwing the guys that are 6'7", you know. And, you know, there's just he's got a lot of attributes. And on top of it, his leadership.
As a coach, when you put together a game plan every week, and obviously on the offense, Jed Fish is primarily responsible for that. How nervous is he with having a guy like Mercedes that may be back, but the last time he played, he had one series and then he was gone?
Right. Well, I think we're more confident with Mercedes. He has a good idea. Really, this is one of the first times that I'm aware of that Mercedes has been hurt for this length of time.
It is.
So Mercedes had to deal with that and figure out, okay, you know, he came back too early. Felt like it was good, and then he came back again, still felt it. So we're really trusting Mercedes, and I think he feels really good this week. He's had a couple days of practice, went through the return to play. Everything's pointing in the right direction, so we're trusting him on that as well.
All right, we'll hit the phone lines when we return to the Gus Bradley Show, brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. We're back in the HenneneyAutos.com studios after this on Jaguars Radio. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We're talking about the Jaguars offense. And let's match them up a little bit, Coach, against this Chargers defense. You know, for a number of years there, this 3-4 out in San Diego was a ferocious pass rushing unit. What do you see when you turn on the tape and look at John Pagano's group?
Well, you know what? They play, obviously, very hard. You saw that in the Indianapolis game. To hold that offense or limit them like they did was impressive. But they've got some young corners. You know, Sharice, obviously, is a younger corner out of USC. And then someone we're all familiar with Derek Cox. But I think, you know, you saw the really good pass rushers they've had. Now, they've had some injuries out there in the perimeter. Whether we'll get Jarrett Johnson or not, I'm not sure. But you know, they do have one guy that we're aware of in Corey Legit. And I think just they understand the scheme. They're understanding some of the nuances of it. And then, you know, they got some playmakers. Eric Weddle, Legit, guys like that that are, you know, can help them be effective.
Legit is legit. I mean, this guy, he's a good young player. He's in his third year.
He was their defensive player of the year last year
with
seven sacks.
He is a really good player. I mean, when you get seven sacks and when you're in a three-man front, that's right. Pretty doggone good.
You know what? And I can remember evaluating him. We looked at him as a three technique, you know, one-on-one pass rusher on the guard. We thought that he could be effective there. Now to play in the 3-4 scheme, it's more difficult to get those sacks. And for him to show up like he is, it's impressive.
Sean Phillips, Sean Merriman are gone. I mean, there was a time when those guys were terrorizing quarterbacks all over the league. Outside, they've got Jarrett Johnson, as you mentioned, a longtime vet who was not active last week, and Larry English. Where else do they bring the pressure from, or is this one of those Pagano units that'll bring it from anywhere?
Yeah, they'll bring pressure now. They'll bring, you know, up the gut, up the middle. And, you know, we anticipate seeing some pressure. I think, you know, for us, you know, Chad, when he had some time last week, we were effective. We had to go to some quick throws and things like that. But I think, you know, we're anticipating probably seeing some pressure because of those guys being absent.
Yeah, I don't want to say that they're a Rex Ryan type of defense, but more in that direction.
Yeah, maybe not as aggressive, you know, as far as blitzing.
But they're creative.
Yeah, they're creative. And, you know, it's really they game plan from game to game. And they do what they do, but you're going to see, you know, some blitzes that maybe you haven't seen before, some different coverage concepts. It's really they're trying to take away what you do best.
Do they run most of the defense in terms of pass defense through Weddle, Eric Weddle, the Pro Bowl safety?
Well, you can tell he's the captain of that coverage.
Yeah, you know, he's played so many years, and he just has a really good feel for the game. He's a ball hawk and one that will hunt it up, read the quarterback's eyes, and maybe even get out of position to go make a play on the ball. And, you know, he'll take some chances, but, you know, rarely he's out of position.
Yeah, seems to be very aware of what's going on. Now, he's not going to hit anybody in the mouth.
Yeah, he'll try. He'll try. You know, he'll come up there and, you know, he'll go for the ball, you know, probably rather than try to get the big hit. But he's crafty like that.
You know, this is a group they're touting that the last 3 weeks they've allowed just 939 yards to the Cowboys, Raiders, and Colts. And that's saying something, especially when you look at the Cowboys and the Colts and the numbers they're capable of picking up. Only the Texans have allowed fewer over the last few weeks. So you're getting a defense that feels like they're playing well. Forget the numbers. Throw it out.
Right.
They feel like they're playing well against an offense that I think feels like they're playing well, right?
Yeah. You know what? It is. It's a great challenge for us now. The numbers lie here a little bit. I think when you watch tape and you see them, just like you pointed out, Brian, you're watching them and you're saying, okay, supposedly they're the 29th ranked defense or the 28th, but they sure didn't play like that against Indy. Against Dallas, they did a nice job with that explosive offense. And you know what Dallas offense did to Denver's defense.
Yeah.
So you know they're impressive. Now they're going to be really well schooled up. They're going to play really hard. And you know, we got to take advantage of anything that we can against this defense.
Yeah. When you look at their defense against the Oakland Raiders, the Terrell Pryor show.
Yeah.
Oh my! Did he ever make some plays in that game?
Yeah, he did. You know, and you know, fortunately this week we've got some weapons back. You know, hopefully we've got Justin Blackmon, Cecil Shorts, and Mercedes, and Mojo in the backfield, and our offensive line's getting better, so it'll be good.
Don't want to put you in a game plan situation, but Steven Williams was a guy you tried to go deep to a couple of times. Do you see that from him? Does he have the ability to light up?
He did, just because he's so tall. But, you know, part of that was we only had him for 4 days, and we were trying to get him to learn the X, so we developed a little package for him in certain plays. Well, he's been with us longer, so you'll see him do a lot of different things now.
The more weapons make the OC merrier.
Yeah, that's right.
Big smile. If you want to see a smile, look on the face of Jed Fish on the Gus Bradley Show, which is at 11 o'clock Sunday on CBS 47. This break, then more with the Jaguars head coach. You're listening to the
Welcome
Jaguars Radio Network. Well, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. You know, by the time we get back from London and the bye week, it'd be like 10 weeks have passed in this NFL season. You will have only been home three times. I mean, that's a bit of a rarity here,
yeah.
to feel like a stranger in a strange land in your own home building, huh?
You know what? That we brought that up in the team meeting on Wednesday. We said, God, isn't it great to be back home and play in front of our fans? And you could see the team light up. I mean, there's nothing like playing at home in front of your home fans.
The distractions of coming back from a game, which you think you played well in Denver and then London looming, and I know you don't want to get into that. And then the Chargers having a short week. What's the greater challenge?
Wow. You know what? Sometimes there's more distractions at home than there is away. And as you guys know, you travel with us, you see it. They're in a hotel. You have them there Saturday all day, Saturday night. And, you know, it's pretty secure. We're here, you got family coming and girlfriends or wives, you know, you're spending time with them on Saturday afternoon, and then, you know, all of a sudden their cousins are coming in, and that's something that you have to learn to juggle. And then on top of it, the London trip that you're going to be leaving, and you know, all those things. But what a cool challenge for our team. We did a good job ignoring that noise last week. I don't think we weren't focused. Those things didn't come back to bite us. But what a great challenge for us this week to say, okay, we did it last week. We need to do this again. Because good teams, that's what they do.
It's funny that you bring up sometime that there's more challenges at home. Because some training camps around the league used to have this, you know, you'd have the option. Stay in the hotel or you could go home at night. And there were some veteran players that I knew, they were like, Coach, we don't want to go home. We want to stay in the hotel.
Don't tell the wives that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You got any names in particular? Yeah, look at the phone lines.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-oh. Let's talk a little bit about Philip Rivers. And he's a guy I know you like, Logs. You've talked about him a lot. He's out on the West Coast. He's probably underappreciated because people here don't see him as much. But his quarterback rating right now is second only to Peyton Manning.
This guy, I think, has been underappreciated his whole career. I mean, he gets, you know, I remember last year and the year before, people were all over him for his performance. But if you talk to football coaches and the players, they'd say, this guy is something to deal with now. And I think just because he really handles the team. He takes care of the offensive line, the running backs, the receivers. He'll get in somebody's, you know, someone's face mask and get in there. And I mean, he wants it a certain level, and he expects it. So we're similar now. This is 2 weeks in a row we're dealing with a guy of that fashion and a guy that really tries to control the whole offense.
Yeah, he turns a lot of people off just because, you know, sometimes he talks and, you know, he's got that expression on his face. I personally – I love him.
Well, he's such a fierce competitor. Yeah, he is. That's one thing no one can argue. And, you know, that's what I have had a chance to know some people that are really close to him, and they hold him in high regard. And the way he plays on the field, he's, you know, he can turn it on now. He can score a lot of points in a hurry on you.
He's got a different throwing motion, though, doesn't he?
He does. You know, I think everybody looks at that. But, you know, again, we look at it as is really effective doing it. He's really effective, and he throws the ball where he's supposed to, and that's what makes him last so long in the NFL.
Of course, it's easy to be effective when you've got Antonio Gates,
yeah.
Right? I mean, they've combined for 58 touchdowns, which is the most by a quarterback tight end tandem in league history. Gates has 85, right, which is the second most to Tony Gonzalez in NFL history by a tight end, and this is a guy who's a basketball player.
You know what? Here's something that's interesting. When San Diego didn't have much of a run game, you would see Gates get viced, and I mean literally viced, where two guys would be on the line of scrimmage and would not let him get off the field, especially in the red zone. But now that they're getting the run game going a little bit more, and they had the game like they did against Indy and some previous games where they've got it going, Matthews gives us that. That's much more difficult to do. So now you're trying to pick and choose your times. Can you match up? And, you know, he creates a problem.
When you talk about that vice, I don't know how many games that we've seen, Philip Rivers and Antonio Gates, and it gets down into the red area. And Brian, you've heard me say it before the play. Yep. You better cover Antonio Gates, and the ball still goes there. Touchdown.
Yeah. 5 games between the Jaguars and Chargers, he has 5 touchdowns. So.
Yeah, he's tough. And you know what? They've got other threats, and that's what's happening. Sometimes you see teams are trying to take him away, and all of a sudden everybody's talking about Keenan Allen. You know, a third-round pick that runs a, 4.7 40. but he's making plays. Well, some of that is because you're trying to take Gates away, and it leaves him one-on-one, and he's good enough to beat one-on-one.
And, so and then you got Danny Woodhead.
And Danny Woodhead. Ooh. You know, he's leading the team in receptions along with Gates. So, you know, it's a difficult task that you're trying to defend certain guys. Similar to what happened last week in Denver. You know, a lot of threats, and you just got to play smart in how you, you know, try to, you know, limit what they get.
Rivers just, he just seems so comfortable. And maybe that's because he's got Keenan Allen. Vernon Brown's a guy I know that you were talking about earlier with great hands.
Vincent Brown.
I'm sorry, Vincent Brown.
Yeah, Vincent Brown. Good hands.
Yeah, really good hands. Really good hands. And effective. And I think the longer he's playing with these guys, the more comfortable you get. And just like, Brian, you were saying with the defense starting to get better and better each week, you can see their offense, too. It's really clicking because of, you know, his comfort level.
They went on the road and they won in Philadelphia. And despite the fact that the Eagles aren't a playoff team, that's a really tough thing to do.
Yeah.
And they come back and they beat the Cowboys. So, I mean, they've got something rolling here. They've won three of their last four, so it is indeed a big challenge.
You know, the guy I like watching, you know, because I'm a pit guy. You know, I'm the tight angle, you know, in the pit there watching them big guys. DJ Fluker. I mean, holy cow, is he big man. And he got a block against the Colts. I think it was against the Colts. But he got a block where he just absolutely pancaked the linebacker and just buried him into the turf. I mean, he's like 350 pounds.
Yeah, their offensive line now is big.
Massive.
And, you know, we were looking at, because of our injury situation, what to do on Wednesday as far as pads or no pads. But we decided to go pads. You know, we need it, especially against this offensive line, because, you know, our pad level is going to be really important.
All right, we need a break. We'll take it now and return with more with head coach Gus Bradley. You're listening on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, rolling right along. Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and the head coach of the Jaguars, Gus Bradley. We're talking about the Chargers with you, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. The guy that we need to mention, and you briefly touched on, and that's Ryan Matthews, their running back. He's coming off his first 100-yard game of the season. You know, 2 years ago, ran for more than 1,000. I mean, this is a big, powerful guy.
Yeah, he is. And I think I mentioned it before, but, you know, one thing, when he's healthy and he plays, you need to be aware of him. And, you know, just like many weeks, we talk about have a tackling plan, because he does have a tendency to not run out of bounds, but try to get on a DB. And some of their scheme really puts him in a position where our corners are going to have to put the big pads on this week.
You said he doesn't have a tendency to run out of bounds. Mike McCoy was not real happy when he did run out of bounds on Monday night.
Yeah, he maybe needs to make decide when and when not to. But, no, he's a good back.
Your running game – or, pardon, not your running game, your run defense. I mean, last week Moreno was able, but that's just obviously with Peyton Manning and checking off things at the line. But where are you with your run defense?
Well,
do you feel like your fits are getting there?
Yeah, it was better because, you know, what'd they have, 108 yards last week?
Yeah, something like
okay,
that.
Okay, well, 35 was on the fake punt.
Right.
You know, so it's better. You know, now that's manageable where they're getting down to where they have 70 yards rushing in a game. So a big jump.
But you have 13 plays at the line of scrimmage or in the backfield, which is, you know, in the top 10, sixth most in the National Football League. So when you can look and say, all right, well, we're 32nd against the run, giving up 153 on the ground, but you've got 13 plays behind the line of scrimmage.
Right.
I mean, what does that tell you? That you've given up a lot of big plays then?
Yeah, we have. We've given up some big plays. And I think, you know, we're just looking at it. You know, the rankings, sometimes those are confusing. It's just like what you said with San Diego.
Yeah.
You know, hey, the last 2 weeks, they're ranked right behind Houston.
Yeah, you feel them coming.
Yeah, you feel it where they're getting better. And I think that's what we're trying to do with our defense, not get caught up in the stats and just say from week to week, are we seeing us defend the run better? And those things take time, but where we saw the jump from the St. Louis game to Denver, it's been better. We're starting to slow it down some.
And in those last two games, a young rookie that's been getting some snaps for you, Avery Jones.
Yeah.
Talk about his play.
You know what? Avery's intriguing because, you know, generally when you get a big body type like that, you hang on to him because they're hard to find and guys with athleticism. So we were really intrigued by Avery, and that's why we kept him, because of his athleticism, and felt like we really wanted to work with him. And that's what we're doing now, and he's getting closer and closer to where, you know, he could possibly be active.
By the way, how much talent do they have at the University of Georgia when Avery Jones is undrafted? And I know he had an injury.
Kwame Gaithers.
Yeah. I mean, he's undrafted out of Georgia for San Diego. Boy, they got a lot of talent up there in Athens.
Yeah.
Huh?
They do.
Gethers has got good bloodlines. I don't know, many people probably remember
Uncle
Jumpy.
Yeah.
Had the greatest forklift pass rush move maybe I've ever seen in the National Football League. I mean, he was an outstanding player, played for a lot of different
teams. Oh, yeah, absolutely he did. Just totally lost my train of thought. I was going to ask you about Josh Evans and Jonathan Cyprian in run defense in particular.
Okay, well, good. Doing a nice job. Making some tackles. You know, you're seeing on the tackling sheet that, you know, Cip is, what, second our team or something?
We had 12 against the Rams, yeah.
So he's doing a good job. I think there was a couple. There's, you know, the third down 20 screen play that we had that, you know, it should have been stopped earlier. Even when it did break through, that's a tackle the safeties have to make. And we missed that tackle to keep him to a field goal. You know, you see some of those things. But the bright spots are the eight tackles that each of them have or the nine tackles and the seven tackles combined. You know, I think those are the things that show up. They say, all right, you know, they got out of whack a little bit on that long run.
It's interesting in that play that they converted, when you see it, you don't understand that it's actually a design play.
Yeah.
And Kansas City had one, I think it was, that was very similar that they converted on a third and long. I don't know if I've ever seen teams game plan one guy in a third and long situation as much as I have this year.
Yeah, you know what? It is. It's a cover two screen. So that's the downside. If, like last week, we played against Denver, we said, okay, let's go in the game playing a little bit more cover two. Well, there's some really good things that can occur. But like any defense, there's some weaknesses. They happen to hit that, we call it a cover two screen versus cover two. And I think our defense, we just got to recognize that's an issue play, and somehow we have to correct it. And I think that's where, you know, they've got it. They did a nice job executing it, but still the safeties have to keep it from getting a first down. That's where we failed.
All right, we need a break. We'll return more with head coach Gus Bradley after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, welcome back. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and the head coach of the Jaguars, Gus Bradley, here on a Thursday night. Jaguars and Chargers, 1 o'clock home game. That means for those of you in Jacksonville, the Publix tailgate show at 10 a.m., Jaguars pregame at noon, then whistle-to-whistle coverage, followed by postgame show, folks. It is all you can handle. Sunday should be a great day.
We were just talking during a break about, you know, obviously with San Diego, they've got a new situation, got a new head coach, got a new general manager. And you've had a chance to meet some of the coaches around the league. I know you talked favorably about Pagano. Have you ever had a chance to meet Mike McCoy?
Yeah, at the owners' meetings, you know, but just for a short period of time. So, you know, I think one time we had a meal and I was at his table. So, you know, we introduced ourselves and talked for a limited time.
Yeah, but you're on other ends of the coast, and you know, he was in Denver and you were in Seattle. I mean, you know, there's some guys you get to know through the course of your career and other guys you hardly ever meet, right?
Yeah. You know, but the coaching profession and the head coaches you meet, I mean, Andy Reid calls me and talks to me and, you know, before games and, you know, will send me a text, and Leslie Frazier. And to be honest with you, I know them, but not great. But we had a chance to meet, and sometimes you just gravitate towards people, you know, and I think you connect with them. And, you know, it's an awesome profession. And, you know, I think the coaches, you compete really fiercely against each other. But when the time comes, you know, I think you pull for each other as well.
Did you see the photo of you and John Fox post-game that they took?
No.
Oh, Fox, he had a big smile on his face, really intense
look.
I mean, it looked like he was saying something good to you.
Yeah, we had a nice talk before the game, but it was different after the game. You know, very complimentary, and you respect him and his opinion. But, you know, he's done a great job everywhere he's been as well.
He's known for being one of the good guys in the league.
He is. He is a good guy. No doubt about it.
Andy Reid, where'd you cross paths with Andy?
You know
Andy
what? When I interviewed at the Philly job.
Really?
When I was there.
I thought they would have threw him out the door.
No.
You know?
You know what? And they asked me to talk to him, and I was at the hotel after the interview, and he called me. And we sat and chatted, and he was just a great guy. Great guy. And at the owners' meetings, and just,
That's very odd, though.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy just got fired.
And but what's that tell you about Andy Reid?
I think it speaks volumes.
No.
Yeah. And you know what? He thought it was a great opportunity.
Yeah.
He said, Gus, it's a great opportunity there. You know, unbelievable.
14
that tells
years
you about
league.
His character.
Absolutely, it sure does. Let's take a break. We'll come back and wrap up this edition of the Gus Bradley Show in advance of the Jaguars-Chargers matchup here at Everbank Field on Sunday. Back after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, a couple minutes left with head coach Gus Bradley. Jaguars at home, and then, you know, you turn around Monday and take off for London. I mean, this is a whirlwind. You're not home very long, are you?
Yeah, that's right. To be honest with you, I don't think I've unpacked yet.
But well, I've unpacked had time. I just haven't. You have a huge task in front of you. Get your team ready for a game and get them ready to get on the road and go and do something that they've never done before.
Right. You know, we haven't talked much about you have to. We've had to address some things just because there is some planning that takes place. So we tried to knock it out on Monday, had a team meeting, said, okay, so that when Wednesday we totally focus on San Diego, there's no more talk about London. So I think our players will be able to, Sunday night after the game, they'll have time to take care of that. But, you know, hopefully we're really focused for this game.
Did you get a chance to watch the Monday night game live? I mean, Mondays are typically the busiest night for the coaching staff.
Yeah, it is. You know what? I was watching tape in where I watched my film, but I could hear the game. And then if I heard something, I'd go out there and watch it. But sometimes it's cool, you know, especially in the beginning, just to feel the tempo, you know, the no huddle. How does he make checks at the line of scrimmage? All those things taking place. So the live copy, you know, is good to watch.
The live copy. Speaking of the live copy, can you pull anything in off of the sound from live copy?
When I was at CL last year, we listened to live copies and we had it up there, and you know, but teams change it, and you know, really, when you're at the line of scrimmage and you hear certain things, what do you want your players concentrating on? You know, trying to listen to a call or just reading their keys and reacting?
Right.
And I think it generally works out better if you just read your keys and react.
We have to touch on special teams. Yeah. Who becomes your punt returner if Ace is not cleared?
Well, Will Blackman, you know, he's done it for us.
You.
Yeah, you remember that. And so he's a guy that we really trust back there. So if Ace isn't able to go, then it'd be Will.
And by the way, what a guy,
that has been a great acquisition for you guys.
He really has. You know, that's part of the fortunate part of being on the waiver wire where we're at. We've got a couple guys like that. So, yeah, he's been tremendous on the field and in that room with the DBs. And I think, you know, the younger guys really want him to gravitate towards them. And I think he's opening up and allowing that to happen.
Do you recognize, you guys probably did because you watched the film, there was only one special teams tackle in the whole ball game last week.
Because of Denver,
yeah, it was great. We kept saying, kick the ball, Josh. Kick as far as you can.
But it is. But the punt team, how about that? And it wasn't a high punt now. He had time to catch it. And, you know, the punt team, they had their lanes filled. And, you know, it appeared nothing. But, you know, those guys on special teams are really taking ownership.
Well, and speaking of the punting, over the last 3 weeks, Brian Anger's gotten better.
Yeah, he's really starting to get in the rhythm and feels good about it. He's a guy that it's funny, you know, how many punts do you get a day to where, I mean, for us you'd say, well, he punted 65 times yesterday. Doesn't that seem like a lot?
I think,
hey, hold on now. But that's what they do. Now, you know, a couple times, I think yesterday he punted 25. We limited it a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, can you imagine the leg swing to do it 65 times a day? Going up to the game, you know, he might take Saturday and limit it, but
before Sunday's game, was walking across the field and was talking to one of the Denver Broncos coaches who actually was here a few years ago, Corey Unland, and I'm not interfering with anything that's going on the field. So, you know, it's a casual warm up pace, and Brian Anger is just, you know, loosening up, and I mean it, and I'm half deaf, and when he hits a ball, it's just got a distinctive sound.
Yeah, he does.
Bigfoot.
They love that Denver air.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. Yeah. Anybody can go up there and kick, right?
Well, not anybody, but these guys loved it, you know. Right. You or I probably could.
Yeah, no, I know I couldn't. I could. Gus, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Head coach Gus Bradley, ladies and gentlemen. And we will get started with Jaguars Thursday in just a moment for those of you here in Jacksonville. Good night, everybody.